act of the will, I choose to be thankful for this man that God has given me. I choose to build him up rather than tear him down.
Elizabeth Elliot says, I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my daughter Valerie Shepherd. Valerie, I think there is a terrible epidemic of married women who spend all their time when they get together complaining about their husbands.
Mm-hmm. There is.
They comfort each other by telling each other how awful this man that they live with is.
Misery loves company.
And I've often thought, they don't know the particular set of sins that the other woman has to live with. Mm-hmm. And it's a case of the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence.
Absolutely.
Do you think that's possibly one of the reasons for all the adultery that we hear about and the divorces?
Yes, I think this society gives the impression that there's always something better somewhere else, and not to accept what's given. And just lately I've been thinking about that. What God has given me, I'm to be completely contented with and completely happy with. And because God knows what's best for me, and because he gave me this husband who is a sinner, who can't meet all my needs, I'm to accept him just the way he is and to be thankful for him. And I'm learning that when I encourage him, even though he may listen, he may not listen, he may say, no, you don't really mean that, and I have to reiterate what I'm saying, he appreciates any little bit of encouragement or complimenting I can do. After his sermons on Sundays, he wants to hear whether I liked it or not. He wants to hear what I thought of it. I'm learning that to love him often means that I take the initiative in showing my love and appreciation. It means a lot for him for me to go and sit down beside him when he's come home from work and take the time to just talk to him instead of me being busy in the kitchen, which I usually am when he comes home from work, but to take him a cup of tea or a glass of iced tea, he just loves that. And that's just a little way of showing that I think he's important and I want to hear what he has to say.
Our listeners need to know that you are the mother of seven children. It's not as though your husband is the only person that you have to think about in your home, and we can all understand that you are very busy in the kitchen. Valerie is also a homeschooler, so she knows what she's talking about, and I appreciate your willingness to be so candid about it, Val. In my book, Let Me Be a Woman, which was my wedding present to you, there's a chapter called You Marry a Man. After the chapter called You Marry a Sinner, which we've already talked about, just the simple, obvious statement, you marry a man, this is the way it begins. You marry not only a sinner, but a man. You marry a man, not a woman. Strange how easy it seems to be for some women to expect their husbands to be women, to act like women, to do what is expected of women. Instead of that, they are men. They act like men, they do what is expected of men, and thus they do what is for us the unexpected. Mm-hmm. They surprise their wives by being men. Mm-hmm. And some wives wake up to the awful truth that it was not, in fact, a man that they wanted after all. It was marriage, or some vague idea of marriage, which provided the fringe benefits they were looking for, a home, children, security, and social status. Well, I'm not here to read my book to you, Val. I'm here to hear what you have to say about that subject. And after these 17 years, I thought you may have some very different perspectives than you had when you read this book on your honeymoon.
Definitely. I think when you wrote the book, you had had the experience of two marriages, and so you definitely had the wisdom that I didn't have. And when I read the book the first time, I agreed with it all. I assented to it. I thought it was great and that all these things were true. But of course, I've had to learn by experience and putting into practice so that it really is coming out of my own life, too, that I would... What all you said I would agree with now because of the experiences I've been through. I want to encourage women to continually try to be thankful for their husbands, to write down reasons why they're thankful that God gave those husbands to them, and to actually say that to their husbands, to what it is that they're thankful for. And the husbands want to hear, at least my husband wants to hear, that he's the only man in the world that I would want to have married, and that I haven't changed my mind. I haven't thought better of it, or I hadn't thought that there was somebody else that would be much better. And again, the whole idea of what's given is what is to be accepted and thanked, and we are to thank God for, and that's what we're to learn contentment from, accepting what we've been given. And I really believe that the more we wives learn to compliment our husbands, encourage them, affirm, we have a funny expression in our house, and I think it came from another couple, but we say this is affirmation time, and we make light of it, but we every once in a while around the table try to tell one of the children, all of us tries to tell one of the children what we're thankful for in that person.
Wasn't that from Barb Tompkins?
Yes, that's right, affirmation time. And I think we need to do that with our husbands every day.
Now, Val, I know that there are some women out there that are going to say, but our male egos so fragile that we women have to constantly be shoring them up and hovering over them and surrounding them.
I don't think we need to hover over them, but yes, their egos are fragile. And I think we need to give them, we need to give our husbands positive compliments all the time. At least my husband needs it.
I'm sure mine does too. And then there's some women that are going to say, but he never gives me a compliment.
Well, we're not to look for things for ourselves. God wants us to be giving to others first.
I love the prayer of St. Francis. Mm-hmm. Lord,
make me an instrument of thy peace.
And especially the last part, teach me to seek not so much to be consoled
as to console,
to be understood
as to understand, to be loved as to love.
For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that
we are pardoned.
And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. This expression, dying to self, it's a scriptural one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Jesus said we have to die to ourselves in order to follow him. And when God has given us a husband, it's a lifelong lesson, I think, learning what it means to die to ourselves in order to help our husbands be the leaders and men that they should be in the home.
I get many letters from women who really believe that their husbands are keeping them from growing spiritually. What would you say to that? Is it possible for a person to keep somebody else from growing spiritually?
No, because I think we're responsible to God for our relationship with him, with God. And so we have to take the time to ask God to help us to grow spiritually, and that is by spending time alone in the Word and in prayer. And the harder it should be that the harder a husband is to live with, the more we should grow spiritually if we're really looking to God for answers and trusting him to help us to be the kind of wife he wants us to be. A woman has to be thankful for her husband no matter what kind of a husband he is. And I know many of you are saying, well, you have a wonderful husband, sounds like, and you have a husband who has a great sense of humor and sounds like he gives of himself to you, and so it must be pretty easy for you to. But I have all kinds of ways that I show my selfishness, and I want my way, and I don't get my way, and I have to take those to the Lord and ask him to change me. And in order for a marriage to really grow together and to glorify God, each spouse has to take the time alone to ask the Lord to change us. And the harder a marriage is, I would think that the more room there is for growth in the spouse who's having the most trouble.
It's that principle of the cross. just letting go of yourself, abandoning yourself to God, and as you've been saying in many different ways, accepting the given, mm-hmm. which is what Eve refused mm-hmm. in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. She would not take what God had given to them, and she complained about what was not given. I think there's two classes of people, the ones who thank God for what is given,
right,
and the ones who spend their lives complaining about what's not given.
Right.
And the other example, the shining example that you and I are meant to follow, is Mary, isn't it? She mm-hmm. received without any question or reservation what God was giving her. She mm-hmm. said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." How to encourage our husbands. If a woman writes down a list of complaints, mm-hmm. Don't you think it might help if she would just, as you mentioned one time, cross off the list one by one mm-hmm. and maybe just literally physically tear the thing up and throw it into the fireplace
yes.
and just say, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, I've relinquished this.
Mm-hmm.
I just leave it in your hands."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have to give up the things that we want to complain about. And godliness with contentment is great gain. And so God is trying to teach us to be more and more like him as we learn to be content with what's been given to us.
Is contentment a choice?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I think we need to say with our wills, with an act of the will, I choose to be thankful for this man that God has given me. I choose to build him up rather than tear him down. I choose to love him rather than show hostility towards him. I choose to be thankful that this particular man is the one God had me marry. And it's a continual act of the will. It has to be by choice.
And it is a proof of our trust in God, isn't it?
Yes.
That God gives us exactly what he knows we need. And he gives us the set of circumstances, the marriage, the home, the children, which are precisely designed to give us the opportunity to learn to know him and to learn to trust him more.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, mm-hmm. Valerie, for being with us.
Thank you.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.